This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. I'm John Batchelor, and we're headed to Mexico with some numbers that are surprising given where we are in the pandemic. Mexico spends less on health care for its population, than does Venezuela, a country that is in the grips of dictatorship and abuse and people fleeing, not only for the lack of food security, but for a collapsed healthcare system. And Mexico, according to reporting by The Economist magazine, spends less. So let's look at what that spending less has led to in the pandemic. Joseph, this is all a revelation to me. So I ask, first of all, because I like to ask frequently asked questions of the uninformed, which is my representation to you. You are well informed. Is this understood that Mexico has sidestepped adequate health care, that it spends so little on its population, that it's every man and woman for himself? Is that well known?
It is, but it's also well known that Latin America in general does not have a great public health care infrastructure. And that goes across the board. I think that's the same in Argentina. It's the same in even in Brazil, some of the bigger countries in the region. But that said, AMLO obviously didn't do anything to fix that situation. And as much as he talks about his concern for the poor, his concern for the sick, during the virus and in prior to, he invested very little into public infrastructure in the country. And if anything, he tried to essentially give handouts to the Mexican people to be able to essentially mitigate some aspects of the virus. But that obviously wasn't enough. Mexico is among the top five countries with the worst per capita death rate in Latin America in terms of the pandemic. And it's also, I think, one where AMLO has increasingly been criticized because of his kind of he's had kind of very, very poor rhetoric around the virus. And I think it's something that both the Mexicans have taken note, but also the international community.
Colorfully, Mr. AMLO has recovered from AMLO. Mr. Lopez Obrador has recovered from the virus not once, but twice. However, he makes public remarks that are odd. One is recommending Vicks VapoRub to the population in the face of the virus. We've had leaders of states make odd remarks before, so I go to the numbers that The Economist is providing. Excess Death Tracker says 600,000 more Mexicans have died since the onset of the pandemic than would have normally been expected to die. We're also told that We're also reminded that Mexico never shut its borders. Its lockdown for its population was 2 months and then lifted. There is an informal economy that was never protected. At the same time, there are parts of the economy where the masks are worn. That would be the large educated population in the big cities, especially Mexico City. But masks are not mandatory. And we're looking at a vaccination rate that is high depending upon the demographic that you use. But at the same time, what we've learned about the pandemic is that vaccinations are no panacea, that you're still at risk. So all this adds up to AMLO being less effective for his own population than Bolsonaro in Brazil. Joseph, this is an amazing comparison between these states. Bolsonaro has spent more money, has devoted more time to talking about something he denies than Lopez Obrador has spent dealing with cash and commitments and policy to his population, to a disease that he acknowledges. Now, is it favorable to the United States that Mexico has given this free pass? You know, all you have to do is say the right things and we won't hold you accountable for poor conduct.
No, I don't think it's fair. I think we talked about this before, John. I felt the international community was exceedingly harsh on the Bolsonaro government in Brazil about the pandemic because nobody really handled the pandemic well in Latin America, minus maybe perhaps Uruguay, which is a very small country in South America. But Brazil certainly wasn't the worst case. I mean, Peru was the worst case in the region and probably one of the worst cases in the world. Mexico's up there with not handling it very well. They also didn't handle it the worst, but they also didn't handle it very well. And as you mentioned recently, with the uptick in the contagion and particularly on the hospitalizations, there's upwards of about 180 or so medical facilities, hospitals that are reporting that three-fourths of their ICU beds are full. So they're not, you know, they've had all this time and they really haven't increased their hospital capacities either. But you really rarely hear that kind of criticism against AMLO in Mexico. And maybe it's because they're a top trade partner of the U.S., or maybe it's because he has more of a leftist style and rhetoric. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know that it's been unjustly kind of directed. The criticism has unjustly kind of directed towards the Bolsonaro government in Brazil, with kind of leaving others such as AMLO off the hook. And I think that, you know, that you kind of, you know, a little bit made me laugh with the tongue in cheek kind of what AMLO says about vapor rub. This is actually a very popular home remedy in Latin America. For those that aren't familiar with the region, I mean, you go to any grandmother or mother in Latin America, and they always want to, anything you have, whether it's a cold, whether it's the flu, whether it's coronavirus, vapor rub is the one size fits all solution to that. So it's kind of ironic and somewhat, it's tragic, but it's also funny that AMLO goes back to these old home remedies, because it shows that he really doesn't have a proper understanding of the science behind the pandemic, which is, you know, which is tragic given that he's the head of state of one of the largest countries in Latin America.
Looking at the infrastructure of healthcare, which will exist after the pandemic, when and if that day arrives, I learned that there are fewer doctors, nurses, and hospital beds than the average country in the OECD, which is a country of rich, which is a club of rich countries. And Mexico is the only country surveyed by one pollster where the opinion of doctors had declined between 2019 and 2021. So clearly there is no benefit to being a professional healthcare worker in Mexico. There's the opposite. You're understaffed and you're disrespected. Now, these are opposite to what AMLO promised when he came in. Has he been held responsible for this, or is he in a world of so many troubles nobody concentrates?
Well, I think that's it. I mean, his popularity is still relatively high relative to other leaders in Latin America and the region. So I would say no, not to the level that he should be. And I think on top of that, I think what you're going to start seeing, though, if this continues, this trend continues where there's a shortages of medical personnel and supplies in Mexico, is I think you're going to start to see governors in Mexico take matters into their own hands. Mexico is a federal system, much like the United States, also much like Brazil. And we did see this in Brazil. We saw a lot of governors clashing with the Bolsonaro government over his general policies on coronavirus in the pandemic. We have seen less of that. At least I have seen less of that publicly in the case of Mexico. But I think we're going to start to see more of that, especially as medical supplies become short. I mean, they don't really even have enough tests in Mexico to deal with the level of infection or people's symptoms that they're experiencing inside the country. So I would expect to see governors of Mexico kind of look to get the supply chains into their own states, even without any reliance on the federal government.
Joseph, because we've talked about Mexico as a political actor in Latin America these many months of concentrating on what's going wrong, this not drift, this charge to populist left, which can lead to catastrophe and does. Joseph, AMLO has been disposed towards this march to the left, this rush to the left. Does he have an opinion of what's going on in other parts of Latin America, particularly what we've just talked about, the interference of Russia, China, and we know Hezbollah and Iran are involved in Venezuela and Colombia? Does AMLO believe that it could happen to him, or is he does he favor it?
He favors it, especially after his political party, Morena, did not win the supermajority it needed in the midterm elections last May. I think the facade of him kind of being distant from Cuba and Venezuela and some of the more totalitarian regimes in the region, he kind of just lifted that facade. He said, you know, now that any kind of constitutional powers or constitutional amendments that they would have tried if they had a supermajority in the Mexican legislature, now that that's not an option, we're just going to go full board for the remaining years that he has under his presidential term. And what he means by full board is he means full board support for the communist dictatorships in the region, most notably in Havana, Cuba. He was Mexico. AMLO was probably the most prominent external support to the Cuban regime during the protests last summer. And he's become much more amicable to Maduro in Venezuela. Remember the scenes and the images of last September during this infamous CELAC meeting, where he included Nicolas Maduro, a dictator, as well as the dictator of Cuba, Miguel Díaz-Canel, in a supposed meeting of democracies, which is the CELAC meeting that they hosted in Mexico City. So I think his foreign policy is going to become much more visible and transparent, and unfortunately, it's going to be much more aligned with authoritarian regimes worldwide, which includes Russia, China, and Iran.
And is this a direction for the electorate in Mexico? In other words, there will be another presidential election. AMLO is not the last word. Does Mexico now join other Latin American states in going populist left and inviting actors from outside the hemisphere?
That's a great question, John, because I think what we're seeing, and I wrote about this recently in an article for the National Interest, as we're seeing a authoritarian wave sweeping through Latin America. We saw it last year in the year of elections, the super election cycle. And this year we have very important elections in Colombia and Brazil and Costa Rica. So we're going to see what happens there. But let's say the worst case scenario happens in Petro's to win in Colombia, Lula's to win in Brazil, and that would kind of solidify this authoritarian sweep of Latin America. We then have to look into elections in 2024, 2023 and beyond. And in 2024, Mexico is going to have their election. So I think that this is something that we have to look and pay attention to on the horizon, because the region is going in a very negative direction. But that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. And the Mexican people are very important to basically making sure that the rest of Latin America doesn't get dominated by these authoritarian leaders. And AMLO, while he's maintained his popularity, as we saw in the midterm elections last May, that hasn't necessarily translated into more popularity for his political party or his political agenda. It's more of a personality politics, I think, in his case, where people sympathize with him because of his rhetoric and populist style.
Joseph Umar is the executive director of Secure Free Societies based in Washington. And we've been speaking of Mexico. We now turn to the villain of these last decades in all of Latin America, Cuba. And what about those protests that were held last summer, bravely challenging the regime over food security, over health care, over the fact that the regime doesn't have answers for the future? Well, there are trials underway, closed trials. When we come back, this is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.